Before we go into our message today, I was just thinking, wondering, how many of you have had a very stressful week this week? Okay. Many of you. Did you know that God loves you? He really, really, really cares about you. There's some things in your life, many of you, that unless God does something, you're not sure what's going to happen. And you need a miracle in your life. And I want to pray for you. Okay? Would you just hold hands with someone near you? And if you're sitting by one of those who raised their hands, pray specifically for that individual. And just go ahead and start lifting up your prayers right now. And particularly pray for the anxiety and the stress, fear to be released. Lord, you told us to cast all our cares upon you. Because you really do care for us. Lord, you are aware of what's going on in our lives. Lord, those today who came with stresses and fears and anxiety, problems, Lord, you know what they are. And Lord, it's as if they have your full attention. God, I don't know what needs to happen, but you know. And so, Lord, we come before you, and Lord, you're a miracle-working God. Lord, I know. Not only do you care for us, but you have a wonderful plan for each one of us. And so, Lord, I'm asking you today that you would help each one here, that our focus could be not on the troubles and the trials and the stresses around us, but our focus could be on you. Because, Lord, you're the one where our help comes from. Lord, we can't do it ourselves. If we would, if we could do it ourselves, we would have already done it. Lord, we can't do it without you. So, Father, I'm asking you, Lord, there are some things troubling my heart today. Lord, you're the God who can take and fulfill the needs in our lives. And so we give you the praise, and we give you the glory, and we give you the honor, knowing that you not only can, but you will meet our needs. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. So we're in Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we talked last week about entering into his rest. Remember that? We were talking about how God has a rest for each one of us, and we can enter into his rest. When I was in seminary, I was taught something called hermeneutics, and that's how to interpret God's word. And one of the things that we were taught was that you stay within the context and you don't use a passage of Scripture and go outside that. You stay where it is. And the only problem with that is a lot of the New Testament writers didn't do that. I mean, it's a good, I mean, it's really good. That's a really good way to do it. But oftentimes, for instance, in the Hebrews chapter 4, Paul uses, and God entered into his rest on the seventh day, and then he goes out, then he just starts going off, and hey, there's a better day coming. There's a time when you're going to enter into his rest, but you need to be faithful, and you need to be obedient. Well, I want to go back to that passage of Scripture where he jumped off. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 4, I believe it is, it says, for somewhere, and it's not like the author didn't know where he spoke, okay, but he just says, you know what, it's not important to go to the passage. I just want you to know, somewhere, he has spoken about the seventh day in this way, and on the seventh day, God rested
from his works.
Now, so we're going to talk about a day of rest today, okay? A day of rest. There are some people who don't like to work. And then there are some people who don't like to rest, okay? And so God is kind of, so this deal about taking a rest, a day of rest, Jesus got into all kinds of trouble when he was here. Because he was doing things on the Sabbath day that was not legal for him to do. He would heal somebody on the Sabbath day and the Pharisees would like, oh, you broke the Sabbath. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. So Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. So it's kind of ironic that somebody would say to the Lord of the Sabbath, the one who created the Sabbath, you're breaking the Sabbath. Isn't that kind of crazy? And so Jesus would go out and he would take, going out into the fields and he would take the grain and rub the Sabbath day and he and his disciples would kind of husk it in their hands and then eat the grain. And they said, you broke the Sabbath! You're not supposed to thresh wheat or eat corn or, you know, anything like that on the Sabbath. You broke the Sabbath! And so Jesus is kind of helping them to understand. And we'll get to this. And he says, Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath. There is in Christian circles today the discussion and sometimes argument about should we keep the Sabbath or should we not keep the Sabbath or is it even necessary? Is it legalism if we do so? So that's what we're going to be talking about today. We kind of hit on this, Paul did actually, in our Sunday school class, our life group class, a few weeks ago, and did a wonderful job in that. And so I'm going to hit on it too, because it came up in our Hebrew study. So we're going to talk about it. So let's look at the passage of Scripture where the writer of Hebrews quotes from, and so it's in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You're to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them in 6 days. Then he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. Now you would think, the children of Israel had been in bondage, slavery, for 400 years. And God comes down and he says to the Israelite, hey, I'm going to give you a day off every week. You would think they would be excited about that. You would think they would be jumping up and down and in jubilation and just enthralled with what God is going to do, because they had been working 7 days a week from can to can all their lives. And you would think they would be excited about that, but guess what? They were disobedient in that too. As a matter of fact, on side note, one guy was killed because he was picking up sticks on the seventh day. Just a side note. But this is number one, there's a command to keep the Sabbath. When I was in college, I went to a Baptist school, and one of my assignments was that I was to go and visit another religion. And so I decided I wanted to go to visit a Jewish synagogue. And so I went into this Jewish synagogue, and I can't remember if it was on a Friday night or Saturday. The Jews, their day starts in the evening, and then it's the evening and the morning. It's the first day. And so their day starts in the evening rather than in the morning. And I'm assuming, I can't remember, I think it was on a Friday night that I went to their synagogue. And I got there, and it's quite a number of people there. And when I got there, they put one of those little beanie hats on my head. Couldn't go into the worship area without one of the little hats on my head. And so while I was in there, I was taking notes as assignment for my class. And as I was taking notes, somebody tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around, and he said, "We don't use pens on the Sabbath." So that was okay. Put my pen away. And he's pretty stern, like, "This is not to be done." And so I said, okay, you know. And I just kind of sat in there and observed and took notes afterwards, as much as I could remember, so I could turn it in as an assignment. And the Pharisees had a lot of rules that you couldn't do certain things. And this is what Jesus was coming against, was all of the legalism and all the rules they had made. The Sabbath day was one of the big ten, okay? It was one of the things that God said you cannot do. Now, as we as Christians, and we learned this in Paul's class, that because we are not under Moses' law anymore, we are under the law of the Spirit. As many as walk in the law of the Spirit, they are not under the law of Moses anymore, Scripture says. Okay? So we understand that we're not under that command anymore. However, not only was the command of a day of rest given to us, Jesus said it's a gift. It's a gift to man. In Mark 2:27, he told them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." So let me ask you a question. Why the command? Why the gift? Why is it important to God that we rest? Did you know that God made our bodies? You understand that, right? Like Keith said, we're made in His image. And so if God needed to rest, I don't know if He needed to or if He just did it as an example to us. But here's what I understand, is that our bodies can only go for so long. And as we are involved in physical activity and working and doing things, God says, hey, you need to take a break. Now, I will say this. He said, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Not 3 days. Not 1 day. And when I was in Portland some years ago as a counselor and there on Burnside and 3rd, they had this protest going down Burnside, and it had to do with, we only want a 3-day work week. They wanted paid for 40 hours, but they only wanted to work 24. And I'm thinking, good luck with that. When I was probably about 19, I worked at a shipyard in Pascagoula, Mississippi. And we had to take a ship. Actually, it was a crab boat that was going to be shipped over here to Seattle. And so we took this crab boat, pretty large boat, from Pascagoula, Mississippi, out into the Gulf, and over to New Orleans to dry dock it because it had some mechanical problems. They needed to work on it. And I was a carpenter at the shipyard. I got to that New Orleans shipyard was huge. And I could tell you a lot about it. I don't have time. One of the things, I guess it was the first time I really realized that there are people who actually try to hide when they're working. Some of these guys would go down. I mean, these ships are huge, and they have work that they're assigned to do. And so rather than doing the work, they go down in the belly of the ship and find a little cubicle and just kind of sleep all day. Then at the end of the day, they come out and tag their card. And I'm like, are you serious? Jesus said, God said, 6 days you will work. I don't ever want to steal from my employee. Employer. Either way. I don't want to steal from my employer. I don't want to steal from my employee. But when we don't work as unto the Lord, and we talked about last week, work as unto the Lord, when we don't give it our best, when we don't put our passion into it, what we're doing is we're stealing from our employee, and I don't think God's real happy with thieves. Matter of fact, that's another one of the big 10, right? Thou shalt not steal. And so if you have a job, you need to give thanks to God for that job, and you need to put your all into it. Put your all into it. But this idea of God giving us a gift, so when we rest, there's something that, there's a chemical in our brain called serotonin, and when we rest, that is increased. Because throughout, if we continue to work and work and work and work and never rest, there's a depletion in our system. And if you don't rest, it can lead to health problems. It can lead to depression. It can lead to a lot of different emotional problems, a lot of different areas. You know. And so God said, listen, this is a gift to you. Because I care about you. Because I love you. This is a gift to you so that you can be replenished. I remember when I was going to seminary and pastoring a church and had my own business and worked at the hospital as a maintenance guy, sometimes I'd put in 20 hours a day. And after a week or two, that gets old. Some of you've done that. Maybe not going to seminary, but some of you've had to work extra hours. And let me just say this. I commend those individuals who need more than one job, and they're willing to do that. Okay? But there also comes a time when there's a necessity to take a break. And so the gift is there for us to give our bodies a rest and allow God to replenish us. In Psalm 127:2, it says, "In vain you get up early and stay up late, working hard to have enough food. Yes, he gives sleep to the one he loves." Okay? So, looking back on my life, I'm pretty confident God would have supplied my needs even if I hadn't worked 20 hours a day. Because he says he gives sleep to those whom he loves. So the third thing is, what's the plan? You need to make a plan. If you're going to have a day of rest, you need to have a plan to do it. I find out if I don't plan to do it, it's not going to happen. Okay? So, is it okay to say pick a day any day? Well, let's read Scripture and find out. In Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6, one person considers one day to be above another day. Someone else considers every day to be the same. Each one must be fully convinced in his or her own mind. Whoever observes the day, observe it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat it, yet he thanks God. So in verse 5 it says, and in verse 6, pick a day. Pick a day. In Colossians 2:16 it says, therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food or drink or in the matter of a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Don't let anybody judge you. And you don't judge anybody else. And whatever day they choose, that's the day they choose. So pick a day. You know what my day is? It's not Sunday. It's not Monday. It's Friday. So if I don't answer your phone call, it's because I'm taking a day off. Okay? Now, if it's an emergency and I see that it's an emergency or you leave a message, then I'll always respond. Because the problem I have is that I sometimes care too much. And it's hard for me. This is a difficult, because I'm preaching to me as I'm preaching to you. It's very difficult for me just to not answer my phone when I see somebody in my congregation who's called me. Okay? Because I want to know what's going on. I want to know how I can help. That's my gifting. And so I try to move on that. And so I'm just letting you know that Friday's kind of my day off. That's kind of the day I've chosen. It's not always, I don't always get to do it. But that's kind of the day I've chosen. So if I don't get back to you immediately, just hang out, okay, for a day or two. And I'll get back with you. If I don't, call me on Monday. So pick a day and let that be the day that you choose to rest. Now, whether you do or not, I'm not going to judge you. But I will say that sometimes if you keep working and working and working, sometimes the Lord will put you on a siesta. Okay? Sometimes the Lord will say, you know what? I'm going to make you rest. And He will allow you to maybe break a foot, get ill. I have a brother named Troy. Some of you have met him. He was in Newburgh, Oregon. And he was building a house with a 12-12 pitch. You know what that is? It's a pretty steep roof. And he was putting metal siding, metal roofing on it. He was at the top of the roof. He stepped off of the ladder onto the roof. And he came down and broke both legs. He had to rest. But you know, it was through that time that the Lord really gave him some insight about his direction, where he was going, what he was to do, and that kind of thing. And it turned out to be a real blessing, because if he had not had to rest and stop, he may not have gotten that insight in that direction. So perhaps God wants to give you insight and direction without you breaking your leg. Okay? Possibly. Just perhaps. So, how do we do it? What does it look like? In Isaiah 58:13, it says, if you keep from desecrating the Sabbath, from doing whatever you want on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath delight, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own way, seeking your own pleasure, or talking too much. So number one, honor the Lord. You know what? You need to spend some time connecting with God. On that day, you need to spend some time connecting with God. It's very important that you spend, it's a gift to you. So whatever day you choose, spend some time, maybe a little more time than you normally do in your morning devotions, spend some time connecting with the Lord. The second thing you do is spend some time with your family. They're the most important people in your life. The Lord and your family. Spend some time with your family. The third thing is, don't talk too much. Okay? Turn your phones off. I told Cynthia, I think I just need to turn my phone off on Friday. But I'm afraid I might miss something. Turn your phone off. Don't talk too much. Scripture says that a person with many words falls into sin. It's better to keep your mouth shut than to open it and then remove doubts that you don't know what you're talking about. I keep my mouth shut. I just nod my head. Yep. Keep your mouth shut. Don't talk too much. Talk to the Lord. Listen to Him. Communicate with Him. Communicate with your family. Turn your phone off. Okay? Is that hard to do for you? You know, studies have shown that even with younger kids and phones, every time there's a vibration or a beep or a ding or whatever your phone does, there's this adrenaline that immediately goes to the brain, and it's like this rush. Oh, somebody's calling me. Somebody's... And so, this is a wonderful device. But it also can be distracting from what perhaps you need to do. Connect with the Lord and connecting with your family. So, honor the door. Don't talk too much. All right. And the last thing is, Jesus is our Sabbath. Jesus is our rest. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. Scripture says this, listen, Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Did you know that your soul needs rest? Did you know that your spirit needs rest? Not just your physical body, but your soul needs rest as well. Your spirit needs rest. And the only way that's going to happen if you find the one who was given to us to give rest to our souls. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer me, but I would, unless you want to answer it on the communication card. So when you need rest for your souls, when you are anxious and uptight and stressed and burdened, grief and sorrow, where do you find rest for that? Where do you go for that? The Word? So if it's not the Word, if it's not the Lord, I have another question for you. How's that working for you? I can answer that. It's not working so good. It's not working so good. The Lord said, if you will come unto me, I will give rest to your soul. That is just outstanding. That is outstanding. There are those this morning who are weary with sin, and you're thinking, man, I'm miserable where I am, and I want something different in my life. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. Others of you, maybe you've got your heart as big as this room, and you take on the weight of the world because you care so much. I want you to know that you are not the burden bearer. Jesus is the burden bearer. And Scripture does say that we should carry one another's burdens. But when you have someone else's burdens, what do you do with them? If you carry them, where do you carry them? Bingo. You carry them to the Lord. You are not the ultimate burden bearer. It's kind of like, okay, Lord, I have this huge burden that Todd's going through, and so, Lord, I'm going to hand it off to you. Because I can't handle it. So I'm going to take it, I'm going to hand it off to you. There are some people who get so burdened by everybody else's burden that they can't live the life that God told them to because they just feel like it's their cross to bear. And they have to wear it. I've got a secret for you. You don't have to wear it. You can release it. You can take that burden off. You can give it to the Lord. He knows how to fix it. He knows what to do with it. He knows what's going on in your life. The question is, will you release it to Him? Will you release it? I've had people tell me, and I've probably done it myself, but it's like, oh, I released it yesterday, but now I've got it back. I've released it, but now I've got it back. I released it a half hour ago, now I got it back. Why? Is it because you're bigger than God? Is it because you can fix it? Oh, here's the deal. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Does that sound like a promise to you? Sounds like a promise to me. So if this morning you're here today and you have a burden on your heart, would you be willing to come to the altar, or come pray with me so that you can be relieved of that and let Jesus take that? Sometimes we have to walk through. It's not like, okay, Pastor Brad's going to pray with me and when he's done praying, everything's going to be just fine. Poof. That'd be great. I wish I could do that. But what the Lord wants you to do is learn how to trust Him and walk through it with Him rather than trusting me. Okay? So God wants to do that with you. So we're going to have an invitation. And I would encourage you to come to the altar, come pray with me. Don't just sit there with your burden. Let's release it to the Lord. Father, I come before you this morning. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And God, I just be honest with you and this congregation, I don't always take the time I need to set aside. I don't take the gift that you've given me.